Today we begin chapter 12 in our congregational study, Believe. This week's key question is, how do I grow by communicating with God? The key idea, I pray to God to know him, to find direction for my life, and to lay my requests before him. The key Bible verses are Psalm 66, 18 through 20. If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened, but God has surely listened and has heard my prayer. Praise be to God, who has not rejected my prayer or withheld his love from me. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, again, good morning, everybody, and welcome those here at church and those who are watching in different places. Welcome. Again, we're in the middle of the series of Believe. We've looked for 10 weeks at the basics of what we believe, and now we look at 10 sessions about what we do now that we believe. And last week, we talked about what we do is we worship, and this week, what we do is we pray. And I invite everyone to get on board with this. I've heard some people say, well, I've missed some, so I'm going to come behind. That's the beauty of this series, is that you can jump in at any time, okay? There's no catch-up here. Just get on board and jump in any time. Just get a small book. They're available in the bookstore. Be part of a small group if you can. Otherwise, you can do it on your own as well. On Sunday mornings at 11 o'clock, we meet and have a small group discussion there. So you're welcome to come to that each Sunday as you're able to. Okay? So pray. Not long ago, a couple years ago now, we had a congregational study, and it was called How to Pray, a Simple Guide for Normal People. Okay, it was by Pete Gregg, and that book is in the bookstore as well. There's online sessions with that as well. But PRAY, P-R-A-Y, is an acronym, and P stands for pause. You take time to pause to pray. R is rejoice. You rejoice in the goodness of God, the grace of God. And then A is you ask. You ask God for anything and everything. And then Y is yield. You yield to God's answers as they come in the best way and in the best time. So pray is a way to worship God. And the way that you each worship and pray to God is utterly and totally unique to you, okay? There's no right way. There's no wrong way. It's unique to you. And then when you pray, amazing things can happen. Pastor Ken Gobb tells this true story. I was driving on I-75 near Dayton, Ohio with my wife and children. We turned off the highway for a rest and refreshment stop, and my wife, Barbara, and the children went into the restaurant, but I suddenly felt the need to stretch my legs a bit, so I waved them on ahead and said I'd join them shortly. So I bought a soft drink and walked on towards the Dairy Queen. Feelings of self-pity I was dealing with were enshrouding my mind. Even though I loved God and my ministry, I was feeling drained and I was feeling burdened. My cup was empty. And suddenly the impatient ringing of a telephone nearby jarred me out of my doldrums. It was coming from a phone booth at a service station on the corner. Was no one going to answer this phone? The traffic noise from the busy intersection must have drowned out the sound because the service station attendant continued to look after his customers, oblivious to the incessant ringing of this telephone. Why didn't someone answer that phone? The ringing just continued. Well, I began thinking it might be important, maybe even some kind of emergency. So curiosity finally overcame my indifference, and I walked over to the booth and picked up the phone, and I casually said, "Hello." as I took a long sip of my drink, and the operator said, "Long distance call for Ken Gobb." I almost choked on a piece of ice. My eyes must have widened considerably, and swallowing hard, I said, "You're crazy." And then realizing I shouldn't be speaking to the operator like that, I said, "This can't be. I was walking down the road, not bothering anybody, and the phone was ringing, and is Ken Gobb there?" The operator interrupted, "I have a long distance call for Ken Gobb." Well, it took me a moment for me to gain control of my stammering from the surprise, and I finally replied, "Yeah, he's here." Searching for a possible explanation, I wondered if I could possibly be on Candid Camera or a similar TV show. I looked for a hidden camera, and I tried to smooth my hair, and impatiently the operator repeated, "I have a long-distance call for Ken Gobb, sir. Is he there?" Well, still shaken and perplexed, I asked, "Well, how in the world did you reach me here? I was just walking down the road, the payphone started ringing, and I only answered it by chance. You can't mean me." "Well," the operator said with some firmness, "is Mr. Gobb there or isn't he?" "Yeah, I'm Ken Gobb," I said, finally convinced at the tone of her voice that the call was a real one. And then I heard another voice say, "Yeah, that's him, operator. That's Ken Gobb." And I listened dumbfounded at the strange voice as she introduced herself. And she said, "Hi, I'm Millie from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. You don't know me, Mr. Gobb, but I'm desperate. Please help me." And I, bewildered, I asked, "Well, what can I do for you?" She began weeping. And finally, she regained control and continued, "I was about to commit suicide. I had just finished writing a note. I began to pray and tell God, I really didn't want to do this. And then I suddenly remembered seeing you on television, and I thought, if I could just talk to you, you could help me. I knew that was impossible because I didn't know how to reach you. I didn't even know anyone who could help me find you. And then some numbers came to my mind, and I scribbled them down." And at this point, she began weeping again. And by this time, I prayed silently for wisdom to help her. And she said, I looked at the numbers and thought, how wonderful it would be if I had a miracle from God. Could he possibly have given me Ken Gobb's phone number? I decided to try calling it, and I can't believe I'm talking to you. Are you in your office in California? I said, I don't have an office in California. My office is in Yakima, Washington. In surprise, she said, really? Well, where are you? I replied, don't you know? You made the call. She said, I don't know where I'm calling to. I just dialed the number I wrote down on this paper. Ma'am, you're not going to believe this, but I'm in a phone booth in Dayton, Ohio. And she said, really? What are you doing there? And I kidded her gently, well, I'm answering the phone. It was ringing as I walked by, so I answered it. Now, knowing this encounter could have been arranged only by God, I began to talk with her and counsel with her. And as she told me of her despair and frustration, the presence of the Holy Spirit flooded the phone booth and gave me words of wisdom beyond my own ability. In a matter of moments, she prayed to receive Christ into her life. And she met the one who would lead her out of her situation into a new life. And I walked away from that telephone booth with an electrifying sense of our Heavenly Father's concern and love for each of His children. What were the astronomical odds of this happening without God? With all the millions of phones, innumerable combinations of numbers, only an all-knowing God could have caused Millie in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, to call that number in that phone booth in that particular moment of time. So, forgetting about my melancholy and now bursting with exhilaration, I headed back to my family, wondering if they would believe my story. And I thought about not telling this far-fetched encounter, but I couldn't possibly keep it to myself. And so I shouted to my wife, "Barb, you won't believe this. God knows where we are." True story. Amazing things can happen when we pray. Pastor and author, I think it's Mark Batterson, he writes these words, "When I pray, coincidences happen. And when I stop praying, the coincidences stop happening." So are they coincidences or are they what we call God incidents? Take this story for another example, a good one. It's in light of the fact that Celebration Sunday is next week, we offer our plans for giving, our pledge cards for 25, our finances, our time, our service, our abilities, next week's Celebration Sunday. So the story goes, by trade, Mary Hayes was an accountant. And numbers came very easy for her. Still, she was puzzled by one aspect of the church donor form. She got the part about tithing a certain amount to the church each week, and surely the church board needed to know how much they could expect and would commit, that she would commit over the course of the next year. It was the little box at the bottom that was new to her. It said, "Check here to tithe unexpected income." Unexpected income. Oh, she got it. If she won the lottery, she would commit to give the church its fair share, normally 10% tithe. Well, why not, she thought. If she were to come into a nice chunk of unexpected cash, why shouldn't God get his fair share? So in a bold stroke of her pen, she placed a check mark on that little box. And on her drive home, Mary began thinking about the prospects of unexpected income. Like, how much, for instance? How much income would she like to have turn up on her doorstep? How about 50 grand? Yeah. $50,000. That would be nice right about now. With the church, her finances had, with the crunch, her finances had been in lately. She could finally buy that condo she had been dreaming about for her retirement. So pulling into her driveway, Mary made a strong, affirmative statement in prayer. "Okay, God, I'm asking you for $50,000 in unexpected income." Exactly 3 days later, Mary's prayer was answered. Ripping through her daily stack of mail, Mary opened a routine statement from her brokerage firm. Its contents shocked her. She goes, "Oh my," she gasped. Audibly inhaling, stared wide-eyed at the statement. The brokers reported that stock, which had been in her father's will, previously worth only pennies, had suddenly exploded, and the paper in front of her reported a value of, guess what? $50,000 exactly. Mary felt gratitude and euphoria the following Sunday when she wrote a check for $5,000. Fulfilling her 10% promise, she slipped it into the offering basket at church, kind of laughing to herself as she wrote at the bottom, "Tithing of unexpected income." But confirmation that God is truly the author of all blessings came during the service. When Pastor Victoria announced that the church building fund was running down, we need an additional, guess what? We need $5,000 for our Sunday school space. And Pastor was not aware yet of Mary's envelope in the offering. Perhaps it was Mary's imagination, but that morning, everything around her seemed to shine with an unusual brightness. By the way, that's a true story. By the way, we don't have a checkbox tithe unexpected income on our pledge forms, but you're on your own for that. Pray. Pause. Rejoice. This God is a God who knows us personally. Ask for whatever it is you want to ask. Be audacious in asking. And then yield to the answer. And you may have to wait for an answer. It's all about God's timing. God might be late, but God is always on time. Jesus told his disciples to wait for the gift of the Holy Spirit until the day of Pentecost. It's about God's timing. And while you wait, you can hear God speak. Remember, prayer is this two-way conversation. And when you open your Bible, God opens his mouth. God speaks through God's word. Now, many people struggle with prayer simply because they doubt that God likes them. And that is the furthest thing from the truth. It's a deception of the enemy. God likes you a lot. You are one of his beloved children. Not only likes you, he loves you, and he loves to talk with you. Now, you remember the story, it's been around a while, called the whisper test. The kids are in grade school, and every year the teacher has the hearing test. And the kids would come forward one at a time, and she'd put up a little shield, and she would whisper something, a phrase like "the grass is green" or "the sky is blue," and the child would have to repeat that back to the teacher, so the hearing was okay. Well, this one little girl struggled with hearing, and she was deathly afraid of this test, and came hurt for her turn to go up to the teacher. And then the teacher, as she approached, the girl sat down. The teacher said these words, as the little girl says years later, "Those words that were put on my teacher's tongue that changed my life." The teacher said for these words to repeat, "I wish you were my little girl." My friends, God says to you and to me, not that I wish you were my little girl, I wish you were my little boy. No, God says, you are my little girl. You are my little boy. And I want to bless you. So talk to me, and I'll listen about anything and about everything. Talk with me, and I will speak. and I'm going to provide help and hope. It's called prayer. And we pray always in Jesus' name. Amen?